Man alive. It takes a lot of work being the cool kid on the podcast. And this
you
week,
really were, you were
I brought it in full force. I know.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. I chain smoked.
I was just going to say that room, like I can barely see you through the haze of all the Marlboros.
Yeah. But that's what skip weeks make me do. And that's what they make me feel like.
You just chain smoke.
And it kind of sends my head into a cloudy haze of ideas, which is what I forced my two data bros to wander through with me this week as I questioned the existence of the skip week.
You know, it occurs to me that I should have brought this up earlier.
Oh.
I think a skip week is different than a fifth week.
I think it is. That's and, like, I was testing the waters at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, and droids of all ages, please slot in the term fifth week every time we say skip week, and take a drink every time we do it, because I think the ending will be better for you by then.
Oh well, okay. I'm gonna do the thing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
An all new Data Bros starts now.
Coming to you from top secret field offices worldwide, these brave men and women fight a battle for truth, justice, and good clean data. These agents of change make up the Bureau of Records, Objects, and Standards. They are the Data Bros.
Django.
I'm going to be playing the role of Mr. Too Cool for School this week. Welcome to your 30-minute appointment with us, the Data Bros, to talk the comic book industry. I was going to do a different voice, but that one came out, and then I didn't know if I had to stick with it. Yeah, you know, talk the comic book industry, comic book data, and what goes into running a modern-day comic store. I'm your host, Jeff Figley, the one with the most, and with me are Django and Brian.
Hey there.
Hello, gentlemen. Wow, Jeff, you are smoking a lot of smokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about our new, our great sponsors at Kimiko Comics? I checked in with the management team, and they said it's Kimiko, not Comico.
So does that solve the question of Unico and Unico?
Not necessarily. I think they're different companies. But Kimiko wants us to know the following message, which they presented for me. You think you know metahumans? Think again. Plucky young writer-artist Bill Willingham brings you Elementals. And if you haven't read this, you know nothing about heroes. Meet Vortex, Monolith, Morningstar, and Fathom, four people resurrected by the very elements that killed them. Now they control Earth, fire, water, and air. It's backwards, though, like that. The catch? No one trusts them. Not the government, not the city they protect, not even other metahumans. In Elemental number one, they're under attack again. This time, it's mid-lunch on top of Seattle's Space Needle. Why? Guess you'll have to read to find out. Fans of Teen Titans or Uncanny X-Men, this one's for you. Get your copy of Elementals number one January 1st. This must be like a pre-solicit, eh?
Yeah,
and see if these four can hold it together or fall apart under pressure. Oh, January 1st, yeah. I guess that'll be in the November. The November solicits, right?
Yeah, that's a Wednesday. I think everybody agreed to push it back to the 2nd, so that might be old copy.
I'll tell you what, they've got me with they're under attack again, this time mid-lunch on top of Seattle Space Needle.
That's going to be...
Yeah.
Not only because it's geographic relative location to my own, but like, what is mid-lunch?
Well, that's like in the middle of your lunch.
Breakfast.
Okay. So it's like, it's designating
the brunch
time. Maybe. Yeah. Or like mid-launch, which is a time.
Maybe it was an idea.
Maybe it's a misspelling of, is there a rocket? Is the Space Needle taking off? It's mid-launch. You know, maybe that's I will certainly read it. Bill Willingham. Interesting. If that's Bill Willingham Jr. Plucky young writer who includes that in there.
I was given, guys. I got this copy and, this is just what I was told to read.
It's like, come to the comics place run by Django and Jeff, a plucky young entrepreneur and his
Buddy, you're coming in hot. You're a little close to the mic, I think.
Yeah.
Coming in
it's
hot.
Just
what are we
it's
what
a weird verbiage to use, Kamiko. That's my point.
Kamiko. I'm Django and Kamiko. I have a full head of hair. Thanks for joining us for the Data Bros.
Guys, I'm a little concerned that you're criticizing the sponsor, you know? Like
we got super grateful. Super grateful. If I'm upset with anybody, it's that one of us just went out and got it without including anybody else in the discussion and just doing it.
You guys can all get sponsors if that's the way it's going to be. You know, you come out with your own sponsor.
I'll find a sponsor.
Well, there you go.
This week brought to you by Comic Shop Assistant.
You son of a gun. Okay. All right. Let's get to the episode before this degrades into.
I did confirm with Philip, by the way, it's not his new publishing venture. So
Kamiko is not Philip.
Kamiko is not Philip Sablik. It's still
interesting because I get like the emails just come from Kamiko Marketing. They don't even get a.
This week we're talking skip weeks, something you should never do with the Data Bros podcast because it's all gold all the time.
Every week is a tight 30 of gold.
Yes, if there's one thing we've stood for in season two, it's a tight 30, which is built upon our ideas with season one and season two. Yes. Tight recordings that are distributed on time, according to us. What are skip weeks? Historically called skip weeks, I refer to them often as like fifth weeks now, because I think skip weeks used to have a little bit more organization, and now it's kind of devolved into like a 5 week month type of thing.
These are the things that screw up my payroll when I get paid an extra week every 3 months, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm so angry.
It doesn't just affect comic books, but the way that it's interesting related to comic books is that comics are thought to come out monthly. But then what does that mean when is there 31 days or is there 28 days? It's calendar problems, everybody.
How much are a month?
I don't think the people who built the calendars were taking this into account. But, you know, and I think the way the comic book contracts have evolved to be like, here's 12, you'll do 12 issues on a book, but it opens up all this gray area for like, how long is that actually going to take? And then you have fill-in issues. Anyway, these are all the things that skip weeks are involved with, but you two are both what we refer to as old heads when we're all smoking cigarettes out behind the school. And you have seen this, but I think you've also seen when the skip weeks had an organization that allowed it to make sense in a cool way.
Yeah, like, this would be coming from my just straight up memory, which is fuzzy at best. But I think that there used to be some pretty good organization around skip weeks to have related annuals appearing.
Right. Usually, skip weeks. It would be annuals or specials usually. Yeah. On the fifth week.
Yeah.
And buttload of trade paperbacks. Like it kind of not in the old days, but kind of as things progressed and we started getting trade paperbacks, they would come out on that skip week a lot of the time.
I think we should probably caveat this whole conversation with the fact that none of us are publishers and don't know all of the ins and outs about this.
Every single one of them ghosted us with the invitations we sent out.
We also did zero practical research on this, and this is all just speculative nonsense.
Absolutely. But we can talk about how it affects the industry and what retail 100%. Stores do to combat it. You know, it's interesting the idea that back in the day, you know, they were organized with annuals that would oftentimes be related to one another. And now the way that it becomes most clearly evident is on a month where there's going to be five Wednesdays, you just get slightly anemic weeks for all of the Wednesdays of that month, usually with the final one being the lightest and having the most, like you said, kind of like specials or one-shot things, and generally a higher paperback density as well.
So the Jeff, last one we had was July, and the next one we'll have is October.
And I don't want to nitpick here, but it's actually five Tuesdays, I think. It's not the release day. It's a different day that defines whether or not we get a skip week.
That's why I've never been able to plot it out correctly.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I guess the question I have for publishers at large is, why are comics monthly instead of every 4 weeks? And
that's a good question.
If I had to guess, it probably goes back to some arcane postage law or something ridiculous like that.
There's
an
accounting code that we have to abide by.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe people deserve a week off every 3 months. But I can tell you for sure, it never feels like I get paid three times in a month when you have that out of sync pay period thing happen. So, you know, I think that that time just sort of gets absorbed into our lives. And probably the most noticeable presentation of the idea of a fifth week is, for me, comic books, where we get just a mishmash of like also ran issues when it happens, or just a super skinny week where it's hard to make rent that week because of the tiny, tiny offerings we have.
Yeah. And with so many, again, questions like Django just mentioned are the things that are coming to me for publishers. And, you know, like these contracts for stories, I would imagine it's usually a chunk of issues that they're writing, right? And in good faith, like a timeline is laid out, or maybe that's built into the contract. But like, it seems, you know, like we're at a time where with the way that the industry has shifted, it would be interesting, and maybe this is what's happening, exploring with in the contract of each person's tenure on a book, you know, the idea of like, okay, if it's going to be 12 issues, if we fall behind, like, should we plan to write 2 one-shots that would come out every 6 months with a fill-in artist to give the artist a break? Like, you know, are contracts based on time and doing a comic every 4 weeks, which again, you know, my brain is thinking about the changes of the industry, and just like 4 weeks, I think, is proving to be, you know, the quickest human possible amount of time that you can make a high quality product and not reliably in 4 weeks.
That's for a cohesive creative team though, right?
Like, right. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing Spider-Man is every other week or every 3 weeks, or right, just kind of as fast as they can shoot them out sometimes.
Right. With a writer. And then at some point the artists are being selected far ahead of time. Right. Mm-hmm. Cause like we're getting, you know, 4 issues of John Romita Jr. You get 2 issues of a fill-in, then you're back to like 5 issues of John. You know, sometimes it's less cohesive than that, but it can be kind of mishmashy. So like on the back end, to me, that's what I'm interested about, is like, how are these contracts being laid out, and are they leaving room for these skip weeks? Are we just incorporating them into our series in a slightly different way? Mm-hmm. You know, when we have an artist jam special or something in the middle of a run that the writer has written, you know, is that taking into account skip weeks? Is that, or is that all just artist time to get a book out, which I would also support, because you got to give those artists time.
If Dan Morrow was the only artist on all comics, would everything ship on a tight schedule? Like,
yeah, like he can do any number of them in 4 weeks. Not only on time, Django, but a tight 30
on schedule.
Yeah. So that was exploration of the idea of skip weeks. Brian, where are you at?
I'm looking at October 30th and what's coming out, and it's a super light week, but there is a lot of like actual, like, so Saga number 70 is going to be out that week, allegedly, you know, keeping in mind that things are subject to change, right? We've got Green Lantern Annual number 1, Wolverine Revenge is out that week, number 3, so that means that it's coming out probably every 6 weeks.
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, so that would be, yeah, I guess that would be, that'd be 4 or 5 month, right?
Weeks, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of like Cowl, Magic Order, Wonder Woman Uncovered. So yeah, there's some of that stuff as well. Black, White, and Bloodshot number 2, Blood Squad 7, Strike File number 1.
So here's what I wonder. I know that publishers have somebody who does the schedule, and at DC, I think Vince used to be tightly woven into that, right? Yep. And he was telling me one time that he used to try to stagger Batman releases and stagger big releases. And he was saying, you know, you got your week 1, your week 2, your week 3, your week 4. I wonder if that concept is more important to the publishers than it is to the readers.
I think it is.
I've never correlated the first week of the month with a comic book release, even when they were advertising it like that,
in
the '90s.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I kind of jumped in right around the same time that, you know, Wildcats number two took 4 months to come out or whatever. And, you know, things were late because you had those superstars doing comics that could just kind of get away with it because they were selling like gangbusters. But I wonder if the idea of needing to schedule week 1, 2, 3, 4, and then realizing that there's a number 5 every 3 months, if that's something that just needs to be thrown out because the fans don't care. And especially because we've polluted the cadence of comic books so badly in the last 5 years.
Nothing. Well, right. And I agree with everything you just said. And I think that, you know, the way that they're, I think it absolutely is more important to them than us. They, every couple of years, somebody's, you know, like, oh, we want this to be Spawn week, you know, and you got all your Spawn books this week, or, you know,
that's the worst idea ever.
Yeah. Don't, it's a lot of Spawn books.
Publishers.
I think that it is just the way that publishers kind of have to conceptualize their releases, but I don't think it benefits the readers. I don't think they're organizing their time like that. And I think that you're seeing, you know, publishers also adapt in alternate ways. Like, you're looking at like Wolverine Revenge, and like more mini series exist now, and they probably exist in some effort to facilitate schedule filling like that. You know, I think the idea of a long-running monthly series, there's much fewer of them than there used to be. But yeah, and then you always have tie-ins, like there's always events going on, you can kind of dovetail it on there. But so that's why I bring up like contract negotiations, because like I would think that the paperwork is really like, what are the ideas going into dictating that? So all of those publishers, get at us, talk to us about that. We want to know what that juicy, juicy gossip under the hood is.
I'd love to hear from
DataBrosInc.com.
podcast@databrosinc.com. I'd love to hear from Philip about this.
Yeah.
Sablik. I'd love to hear from Adam Freeman.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why I haven't been able to think of Vince's last name since I...
Letario.
Letario from Dynamite now. But he had a big hand in this kind of stuff at DC, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Seems like it.
Well, I mean, and when I was a kid, I remember very distinctly that Detective was 2 weeks after Batman every month. Like, it was back when you had to go to a drugstore to buy, and we'd get nickel candies and penny candies and tie an onion under our belt because it was the fashion at the time. But it was every other week was a Batman title. Same with Superman. Superman in Action staggered 2 weeks.
And I could see DC putting a super premium on week 1, week 2, week 3, just as a legacy from the Diamond Era of Superman, right? Because if one of those came out in the wrong week, the whole thing falls apart, because that was like a continuous.
Because you had numbering and everything, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to think about how it's like, I think media in general is moving much more towards a not scheduled release system, you know, like we do things that are dropped as an entire season at a time, you know, and then it can take 3 years between them. Like, you know, we're not reliant on weekly televised shows in the same way that we once were. So like, I would only imagine that it's going to be the natural trend of comics to go more into that and kind of continue this idea of just like, I think we're in the grayest, muddiest waters of it right now, because it's like kind of putting things together because they're no longer actually shipping super monthly anymore, and they're experimenting with different things. But again, you both, I rely on both of you to, you know, carry this, because you guys were there when it was working,
when Armageddon 2001 came out.
You talk about a lot of them. Armageddon's the big one.
Bloodlines
that's the
Bloodlines,
other
Bloodlines. Yeah, the annuals.
Yeah.
They're so bad, dude. They're so bad.
So if you think about the books that made a huge difference in the last 12 years or so, Walking Dead had a strict cadence, right? Yeah. Saga had a strict cadence when it was really moving the needle.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder, like, and this is maybe getting a little bit away from the skip week idea, but just that you have one, like a drum beat, right? Whether that drum beat is once a month or every 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Django, it's a great segue into what this theme of season 2 is. we can't stress how important consistency cadence towards building a fan base, reliability.
Our schedule is our cadence. Think of us as a polyrhythm super
group. Consistently our own.
And you know,
2 weeks on, 1 week off.
To be completely fair, the ultimate stuff has come out very well, consistent. And I'm surprised by how. Yeah, it does, because they've got a 14-month window to tell this story.
And every issue is a month of time that's passed.
Yeah, so they've done a really, really good job of that. And there's Void Rivals, I think, has been pretty consistent, right?
All those Energon books have been really good about, you know, frequency of output near the beginning. And, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man is a great example, because that is one where within the first four issues, there was a fill-in artist. So that was built into this book. That person was drawing it before the first issue would come out. So that's intelligent. And I think it's a way that distributors are, but maybe I'm giving them way too much credit. I don't know. You tell us.
Another bit of fallout that we see from this, the release schedule, and I don't expect publishers to all sort of sync up and, you know, make it so that we have the same number of comics for the rack every week, because that would be nuts. But this week was one of the biggest weeks that we've had in a long time.
Huge,
right?
It was big.
150% of the last few weeks of comics.
And it was big on trades this week too, right? Like there was a stack of trades this week.
Huge.
Yeah. And maybe so that's getting ready for Christmas or, you know, scheduling or whatever, but it's something that the retailers don't have any control over. And something else that we don't have control over is the weather. So we had some of the biggest weekly invoices that we've had in months this week. Mm-hmm. And it dumped rain on Wednesday, and we were at about 2/3 of a normal Wednesday's sales.
Right.
With what should be automatically bigger than most Wednesdays, because if you come in to pick up your books, you have 150% of what you would normally have. So,
think about the East Coast, right? Like down Florida and Georgia and Tennessee and all those places that were under. Yeah.
How do I get my saga?
I gotta go get my saga this week. I'm not under 7 feet of water, but I need
not to make like light of it, but you know. Soggy comics are down there. Oh my gosh. I hope everybody's doing okay.
I haven't heard from many of my retailer friends down there, and I gotta reach out to a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Brian, you know. How are you feeling about this kind of bullet point at the end section, eh? How do we keep customers excited and coming back to the shop despite no major releases?
That's a good question. And that's a good question. How do you do it? So the way I see it, because the fifth weeks tend to be still pretty big weeks. Like they're not super lean. They're just, they tend to be kind of higher ticketed items. So there'll be annuals, which tend to be a little bit higher price than a single issue. But there's not necessarily an impetus for the customers to come in and get those things, right? So one thing we could do, and this has been going around right now, Django, I know you posted a thing on Adam's Facebook post recently. This would be a great week for delinquents. Get those delinquents in here and on that fifth week and clear out some stuff, because you know there's massive liabilities in your pull boxes sitting there right now. So treat fifth weeks as maybe a lighter labor week that you can use to get more people in to pick up their stuff.
That's really smart.
That's a good idea. I don't know that a tiny fifth week gives you that much more spare time.
True.
Because you're likely still ringing up the same number of people. It's just for one comic instead of six comics.
Yeah. Fair.
But you should always be keeping up on your delinquent subs.
Yeah. If it translates to people not coming in, then yeah, an effort to get people in. You know, we're fortunate that we can rely on a fair amount of foot traffic on any day of the week in our store. Ranges obviously from day to day, but you know, if you're a shop that it doesn't have that destination, or is what destination location, and you're not getting people in. Yeah, that's a great call to like try and use your man hours to contact people to come in and get those files, because again, you want to catch that as soon as you possibly can. But you know, like, I wish that there was like a clear announcement, right? Like, it used to be annuals or something, but now it's like, you don't really know until you're unpacking the books or looking at the invoice from the week before. Like, there's, you know, it seems a little bit like publishers are trying to make it seem like less of a thing. Yeah. So they're not making it really clear when it does happen. They're using kind of band-aid things. So, you know, we've got in here just kind of what can be done to eliminate skip weeks. And I think they're a naturally evolving problem along with the industry, but I don't. Yeah,
I honestly think they've gotten better over the years. Like, there's a lot less kind of dreck in there. Just looking at the July and the October ones, there are a lot more, like, there's quite a bit of regular books in here, and there's a lot less of that kind of like, oh, here's a random green. No, never mind. There's a Green Arrow annual in the July one.
Just, but like, stick all your number ones on the fifth week.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. Or a couple big number ones, right? Like, you know,
and then that gives wonderful. Us 5 weeks Sorry, before the next one.
Yeah, what would be really great is stick your ultimate special in here in the October one, right? Because isn't there an ultimate special coming out about
the Nick Fury,
like,
one.
The 1 year kind of thing?
Yeah,
that would be a great fifth week thing, because that's going to get people into the store, which they can then clear out their back. Log.
Yeah.
How do you feel, you guys?
I can't wait for feel publishers like to tell us why we're wrong.
Yeah, that's what I
want that.
I'm out here as a fact-finding mission, you know, and just kind of hypothesizing about what we think of what's going on. But, you know, I think it would help everybody to know a little bit more about the insides of it, so maybe we could have some more valuable input.
We want to hear from them.
Yeah.
Where should they email us, Jeff?
Well, that's the thing about hearing from people is we want it. Okay. We want to hear your voices. Don't be intimidated by how cool I was this episode. It was a character, and it will be another one next week. Okay. Don't forget to, you can do it all. You can do it all. Send us an email at podcast@databrosinc.com. Podcast@databrosinc.com. I would be remiss if I did not tell you to like, rate, and subscribe to Data Bros Inc. It's like unicorn, you know. It's or watch us online at YouTube/DataBrosInc.
Data Bros Inc.
You'll find the data box. Oh man, you'll find the Data Bros and all of our projects at databrosinkdrop.com. You can also learn about the Comet standard. You can do it. It's important, and we need you. Right now, I'm Uncle Sam, and I'm pointing at you. We need you to help us with the Data Bros Comet standard. It's ours. Yeah. CometStandard.com. Get in there and help raise all boats. I'm Django, and something about Comic Shop Assistant.
I'm Jeff, and my Reddit is most likely Hoffman_.
Just, and I'm a young Bill Willingham. And
you that's my point. Book. Like, if it's either a younger Bill Willingham, or it's the same Bill Willingham they're describing as plucky, which has an inherent youth connotation to it. I think, you know, Kimiko Korn needs to look into what they're putting out there for us.
Brian, are they faxing this ad copy to you?
No, I'm just gonna.
I'm just working on a theory.
Like everyone does. Like it FedEx just comes in my mail. No, just like mail. It comes in my post, like a gentleman.
All right, I'm gonna do a little digging before the next episode.
Kimiko headquarters.
I'm suspicious of this thing.
Portland, Oregon. That's what it says.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Tagline at the end of the episode. Working subject matter.
I like it. Working subject matter. Working.
you know, it's what you left in the dock, really bold at the bottom of the at the dock.
Thanks, thanks for really spilling all the
working all subject right. matter.
The Data Bros is a joint project from the teams behind Comic Shop Assistant and Manage Comics. Data Bros are Django Boren, Jeff Figley, and Brian Garside. Brian Garside produces and edits the episode. And you'll find more about the Data Bros online at databrosinc.com. Subscribe, like, and review the Data Bros on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's good. That's good.
It works so well.
Subject matter.
It works so well. I love that we did an entire episode wrong.
Well, no, that's I was like when I started it, I was just like, all right, like they're the same thing or they're not. They'll tell me, you know.
It occurred to me about three quarters of the way through, and I was like, I'll just get it in the intro.
What is a skip week?
A skip week is no comics. That's what.
Yeah.
So right now
between December and January kind of thing.
That, yeah, everybody's asking. Well, half of retailers are asking for skip weeks for Christmas New Year's, yeah. And the other half are saying, "Oh, my children will starve. Earthquakes will come for me."
I was thinking that like annual weeks back in the day were called skip weeks, and now that's we call them fifth weeks.
But yeah, you're right. They were called fifth weeks all the time.
Yeah.
Did we? Okay, right now, right. just say fifth week.
Fifth week,
and I'll just look here.
Fifth week.
With a fifth week.
Fifth week.
All right, boys, I'm going to stop this recording.
Fifth week.
Yeah.
Fifth week.
Fifth week. Fifth week. Fifth.